We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's... Thank God it's...
Welcome to the Lindley Evans Music Studio at the ABC in Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and this week with the music, it's Toby Francis from the cast of High Fidelity. Yeah. And our panel, Colin Buchanan, Tommy Dean and Wendy Harmer. And our lovely audience this week drawn from Bermagui, West Wyalong, Lake Conjola, Manly, Collaroy and Vancouver, Canada. But first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. I have before me a letter from Mrs. B. Timms from Coorumbong, New South Wales, a TGI listener, who complains about a particular brand of antiseptic wash complete with a lid that is childproof. And Mrs. B. Timms notes that it also appears to be, as she puts it, grandmother proof. Now, Mrs. Timms now takes a spare container to the supermarket, she tells me, purchases four bottles of the antiseptic and asks the checkout assistant if she might help penetrate the product's defences so it can be decanted into proper bottles. Mrs. Timms writes, usually they can't open the thing either, and so another heavy-handed customer does so amid sheepish smiles all round. She asks me to take up the fight against impenetrable packaging, which I am happy to do. Are you happy to join me in this?
Yeah!
I find myself unable to open almost anything. Scientific studies show that people who eat sweets and lollies have a high level of tooth decay. Poor old sugar normally gets the blame. More likely, it's the furious attempt to get into the lolly packet, getting a good grip on the plastic with what's left of your teeth and then wildly wrenching the thing this way and that until either the plastic breaks or your teeth do. Often the pack fights back. The hardware store is worse. Every tool is now strapped to a hard plastic rectangle using multiple cable ties. You need a utility knife to cut them free. You could plan ahead, of course, and buy a utility knife during the same visit to the hardware store. Then, once you're home, I know you're ahead of me here, you'll discover the utility knife can only be freed with the assistance of a utility knife. Yet the main problem, as Mrs. Timms notes, is the supermarket. Her letter proves her manual dexterity. Not only is her handwriting beautiful, a flowing copper plate now out of fashion, she has also affixed to the letter various samples of the offending seals. Arrows point out the various problems. Tiny tabs, hard plastic rim, requires scissors. As Mrs. Timms notes, products were not always this impenetrable. My memory is this. There was a single case of food tampering. It was about two decades ago, and ever since we have needed protection. Thus, under the lid of, say, a tomato sauce bottle, there is another lid, a circle of silver-coloured plastic. This is fitted with a tab, but one so tiny it cannot be gripped by any human with normal-sized hands or located by anybody without 20/20 vision. To the extent that it's meant to be childproof, I'd wager it's the opposite. Only those under five have hands tiny enough to get into the thing. I've long believed the packaging industry has been waging a war against humanity. How, for instance, to explain, how else to explain the design of the single-serve UHT milk packet of the sort found in a motel fridge? To open the thing, you must hold the tiny container just below chin level, searching out the tab. Then you've got to exert pressure on the sides of the container to keep the thing still. You begin to ease open the container. This creates a sudden spurt of milk, which always lands precisely in the middle of your shirt. The product appears expressly designed to produce this outcome. In rare cases, a small amount of milk is actually left in the packet. Given Mrs. Timms and her Hope For campaign, is there any progress to report? Well, perhaps only this. Over the past decade, the Australian wine industry has moved away from the cumbersome cork system to an almost universal embrace of the screw top. It is now enormously easy to get into a bottle of Australian Shiraz, which is just as well given the enormous frustration involved in getting into anything else. And that's the news from nowhere. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Timms.
Mrs. Timms is absolutely right. What is the go with tea bags these days? Wrapped in not only the paper, but then in the cellophane. Mm. It's like they're little packages of toxic waste, Richard, that you could catch the plague from your very own tea bag.
Mm. And then when you try to snap the bag holder tag off the bag, then that's gone. And then all that's left is a single string with no weight to hold it back, and the string goes down in the water.
Yeah.
No. You could open the packet with a pair of scissors. You can buy one from the shop. One problem. You need a packet of scissors to get into the packet of scissors.
The only one that I can think of that it goes the opposite direction, and I don't see it all that often anymore, there was a ketchup delivery system, a tomato sauce, and it came in two little squares on either side.
Yes.
And then by bringing the two sides together and squeezing in a moment of frustration like you would with anything else, glorious ketchup flowed.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
I'm glad you're not being critical. That was an Australian invention.
Brilliant.
The best since the vaccine system. Yeah. You know, it's very important.
You got man on the moon, and then you got the ketchup.
The Americans did the man on the moon. We did the tomato sauce. Let's check you are up with this week's news. Hmm. Who should be banking on some tough questions?
Got to be the banks. That banking. Hmm. Yeah. Or am I alone?
You've got to be a little bit suspicious, ladies and gentlemen, when the banks actually ask for a royal commission. What do you think's going on there?
Well, I think that they think they know more than we do.
Well, you know, they've got $31 billion in the kick, and it even came up today that they're going to hire this phalanx of lawyers, and we're going to pay for that as well.
They're going to spend $50 million each, UBS reckons, on silks.
And we've been told that they're going to recoup that from us. The first thing I thought about...
The new ATM, you know how they took off the $2 ATM fee, is going to be replaced with the $2,000 one.
But, you know, I don't know how many folk remember this. Do you remember the old Uncle Remus stories about Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit? There's a certain age group here, I'm sure, that will. Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether those stories... It's sort of disputed whether they were African-American or Cherokee, whatever.
It was Brer Rabbit who flew too close to the sun, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
I just wanted to get focused. Go on.
Something else entirely. But anyway, in this story, what happens is that Brother Fox captures Brother Rabbit or Brer Rabbit, and in the story, Brer Rabbit, being a very, very clever little rabbit, says, "Whatever you do, Brer Fox, do not throw me in the briar patch. Please, whatever you do, you can do anything to me, but please do not throw me in the briar patch." And, of course, it sounds like an excellent punishment, doesn't it? To Brer Fox, except, of course, that rabbits are entirely home in the briar patch and they'll escape that thorny punishment very quickly and, of course, they just run away. So I think Brer Banks have tricked us into chucking them into the briar patch, ladies and gentlemen, and they're about to scamper away. I would say to everyone listening, the moral of the story is when the banks actually ask for a royal commission, keep your eye on who's a very clever bunny. That's what I would say.
Do you think that they also gave the questions we should ask?
Yeah.
I think so.
They offered their own terms of...
Terms of reference.
Terms of reference.
I love that idea. Here's what you should ask us. Question one. This question's directed to the banks. How long have you been awesome? That's an excellent question.
On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being very nice and 10 being exceptional.
Why did you decide to let us off the $2 fee? Thank you so much for that, by the way.
I think they should be called to account. I said before, I said I'm not alone, and no one said it there.
Oh!
See?
Oh!
It took a while.
There's only one thing worse than a pun. It's a pun that people didn't get the first time. And you have to go back and remind them of it, Colin. That was so pathetic.
I don't even... a lot of joy.
Well, I got it, Colin, but you didn't seem to notice that I had 3.76% interest.
That's good. Okay.
That was very subtle.
That was a very harsh statement.
Very accurate. Okay. Another question.
But are we going to ask him the questions that matter? I just think, you know, at what point will we only have one branch open
in the world?
And can we get on them? I still don't understand how, of all the businesses in the world, they can still close at 4 and we accept that. Yeah. They're down to only, there's only like 2 branches within driving distance of my house that I can access from my particular bank, which I won't name by name, but it's got a dragon.
We accept that because Australians are used to worse, because it used to be in the 60s and 70s, I'm right here, that they were open for about 3 minutes in the middle of the day. And you had to sort of plan your run on the bank. There was a daily run on the banks to try to get in the door.
We have, and this is, I don't know if this is advisable, I don't know if it's a good thing, but American banks now have drive-through, like, and they're like 8-lane deep. Like, it's like McDonald's with 8 lanes. You just drive through the bank.
Yep.
You drive through and put your stuff in a little pneumatic tube and shoop. And then drive out. You don't even have to go in. That's how convenient it is.
He thinks everything's better in America except for the tomato sauce packets.
Yeah, that's right.
You get one if you take out a loan.
That's complimentary.
All right.
I love the way they upsell, though. That's the whole thing. You know, you take a little kid in to open a bank account to put in, can you put in my $5 that I saved up for the lemonade stand? They come out with a home loan.
Yeah.
That's what happens these days.
All right, who wants to make a costly stand? In fact, 2 costly stands, brand new, where there used to be a couple of old stands.
Well, of course, you're talking about the story of the state government, Gladys Berejiklian, who want to spend $2.5 billion, ladies and gentlemen, on knocking down both Moore Park and Homebush stadiums, despite Homebush Stadium being the same age as my daughter Maeve, who's here today. She's 17.
Hey.
Oh. I'm going to actually just knock her down and build a new one.
Brilliant idea.
Well, I think your television set is older than the
This is fair dinkum. This is absolutely fair dinkum. We bought a brand new telly to watch the opening of the 2000 Olympics. We traded it in last year and bought a new one. So my TV's technically, I mean, you know, older than the Homebush Stadium's going to be. I wonder about the New South Wales government, I remember going to the Edinburgh Festival years ago, Richard, and doing stand-up there, and I stood up on stage and said, oh, you know, Edinburgh is so gorgeous. Look at your beautiful old Edinburgh Castle. Look at your fabulous architecture. Of course, in Australia, we would have just knocked down all this old shit years ago. Yeah. And that went down quite well. But I think actually, if the New South Wales government, imagine them out and about, they see the Coliseum and they go, what it needs is a few more corporate boxes, retractable roof, parking for 20,000 chariots. It'll be good to go, second thought's too hard, demolish it, you know. Or, you know, bring in Kennards. We're going to need a bigger bulldozer.
Does this make any sense, Tommy?
Well, look, I think in terms of the money, it does sound like a lot, but I wonder if the banks are thinking, well, I don't know if I'd spend 6 months' profit. I wouldn't get that back for another 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I sometimes
don't even know if it's worth it.
Yeah, I sometimes think that there's an Olympic demonstration sport at the 2020 Games in Tokyo for new ways to waste money, and in that case, it's Australia gold, gold, gold. You know, really, it's insane. I don't understand this. I don't get it. Does anyone?
No.
Thank you.
We don't get it. We don't get it. Okay, who has engaged the interest of the world with a story of young love? Who has engaged
this is,
the
this
interest?
Is good news. Is it not good news?
It's the greatest news of all time ever.
Love. Is this because we're talking about the engagement of the redheaded one? Yeah.
But it's not just because Harry's engaged. Yeah. It's because, just like the royals used to do back in the time, we marry off people from other countries to bring them together politically, and finally, England and America back together.
Yeah.
Isn't it good?
It is.
So good.
Except for that whole Wallace Simpson thing, which didn't seem to work out all that well. Anyway, I won't mention that. I think I wish them all the well. Oh, yeah, all the best. But when I see that Meghan and Kate have already been dubbed the new Princess Diana and Fergie. You wouldn't wish it on a brown dog, would you? I mean, really. One's dead, the other's a single mother of two who has to pretend she's washing her hair because she can't get an invite from the in-laws. It's not a good look. Yeah. And then there's a problem of what they're called. Did you see actually what the titles that they're going to have? The actual technical titles these two beautiful women have is Princess Harry and Princess William. So when they go out together, it's HRH Harry and Bill. And you couldn't even get, you know, into the local Mexican restaurant under those names. You really couldn't. What happened to Princess Jasmine or Belle or Aurora? You know, something much more romantic.
So they don't have a Duchess, Countess.
Well, they're going to have a Duchess thing, probably a Duchess. Yep. I just want you to be aware of this, that in America, where Meghan is from, Duchess is a brand of dairy products. So she'd probably end up in an ad on TV saying cheese or something like that. Yeah, yeah. And this is the thing that worries me. I wish them all the best. But you remember in the early days where Fergie was considered a breath of fresh air?
Yeah.
Remember all that and everyone says, isn't she marvellous? I mean, given how hideous the UK press is, it won't be long before Meghan is accused of being a gold digger and there'll be a headline which would be Meghan the Bacon. Get it? Macon.
Or Markle, she's only here for the sparkle.
Yeah, it's it.
But see, this is exactly my point, because England is viciously against the royal family. You guys are deeply cynical about the royal. The only people left, ironically, that like the royal family are Americans.
That's true. Yeah. True.
This is for us. We need this. Because we used to think it was all about the president, but we know better now. Give us a royal family.
You need some leadership.
Sense.
You need a leader who doesn't tweet.
But hang on. What you've got.
You need a family that represents some sort of stability.
But you could have Princess Ivanka.
What's that? Oh, yes.
Oh, just one question, Mr. and Mrs. Markle. Are they going to split the wedding? That's one of my questions, because this is one wedding where you're really going to say, you know, why do we need the seat covers? You're going to try and pinch every penny, because I would think the royal family are going to have a fairly large budget. And if they split that wedding down,
this would be the greatest dad moment ever of him just standing around reaching for a what? You want me to get this? Yeah. I'll get this. Just reaching. Are you sure? Because I could get it. I'll get it. No. Oh, maybe I left it at my other morning jacket.
Do we have to have Coldplay and the Rolling Stones at the reception? You know? Can't we just have a DJ? Yeah, but anyway.
Gladys Berejiklian's paying for the whole lot because she's got plenty of money.
Yeah, that's
now, all the schools, hospitals, and roads in New South Wales are so good that she can throw $2 billion on the stadiums and still have $2 billion left for the royal marriage.
Yeah. I just want to remind everybody of Mary, Queen of Scots. That's all I'm saying. You know, she beheaded after 19 years of being locked in a castle. It's not a good prognosis there. So I'm just be careful what you wish for, girls.
Well, I would just like to remind everybody that the most popular show in the world made out of America is the Game of Thrones. And by golly, we're in it. Yeah. We're finally in it. Yeah.
Wendy, as a little girl, did you dream of being a princess?
Well, you know, I did, Richard, I did. And, I kind of thought that it would be nice to grow up and maybe, this is my era, marry Prince Andrew. Remember that? I thought it'd be great to marry Prince Andrew, but thank God that didn't come true, because I would be actually a single mother raising two kids and doing charity events and being a spokesperson for Weight Watchers. So I think it worked out pretty well in the end.
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
We have Tommy Dean, Wendy Hummer, Colin Buchanan. Now, election time tomorrow in New England. Hello, listeners in New England. The first of the two by-elections following the dual citizenship crisis. Since the paperwork on nationality seems so complicated. Mm. Are there easier ways to work out who is and who is not Australian? Tommy.
Well, take their coffee order.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way, I think. Because if they have an order, they're Australian. They're going to order coffee, and then double check.
Well, what do other people do?
Oh, they just say, can I have a coffee, please? Yeah. You guys really, really upped the standard on a paragraph.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
To get to what you want. Yeah. Yeah. Like it used to be easy. Do you want a cup? Oh, yes. How do you have it? White and two. It was that easy. White and two. He was nominated white or not white, black or white.
Yep.
How many sugars?
Yeah.
White and none. Black and none. White and two. White and one. Those were the simple days. That's back when Australia knew something about itself. Yeah. I was in a truck stop. In the middle of nowhere, it was literally a place that only trucks would stop at on a tour, and we came in, and I said, "Could I just have a coffee, please?" And then she proceeded to list the various milks I could choose from. Yeah. How do you have all those milks?
Yeah.
Who brings that many different kinds of milk to a truck stop?
Yeah, and who are these truck drivers drinking soy?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't even think almonds have milk.
Yeah.
I remember, though, as a kid, when you'd order a Tic Tac biscuit, you used to be able to have a 6:30 or a 3:15 or a 5:07.
They were good times.
They were the good times.
They were good times.
You're talking about, I want a half calf, extra hot, latte,
milk
three size, quarters
milk,
full.
The milk, what can you say, the McDonald's. McDonald's. McDonald's.
Yep.
Still quiz me. Yeah.
Would you like full cream milk with that?
I just said three sugars.
Wow.
Why is there even a question about what kind of milk? Just give me a Coke.
Colin Buchanan, with all this difficult paperwork, and there you've got the New England by-election on with brought on by Barnaby's problem. How do we tell who is Australian?
Well, I think this needs a song because it's
hey.
A... You haven't heard the song yet, so... I was voted my school captain, I won the district cup debate, joined the union branch, young Liberals and the National Party, mate. I'm fiercely independent, always said just what I meant. And finally I achieved my dream, a seat in Parliament. We are dumb and we are many, and from all the lands on earth we come. We're handing in our resignations, 'cause I am, you are not quite Australian. My father was from Latvia. Well, that was news to me. My mother cooks souvlaki, but that hardly makes me Greek. Because of my conception, my elections caused a storm. Should have asked my dad to help me when I was filling out the form. We are dumb and we are many, and from all the lands and from all the lands on earth we come. We're handing in our resignation. We're handing in our resignation. I am, you are, 'cause I am, you are not quite Australian. I am.
Colin Buchanan.
That was so inspiring.
That was. I've got a bit teary.
That's going to change the result in New England. I don't know which way, though.
For those at home, though, that can't see, he didn't play that song on the guitar with a classic pick. He used a thong.
You know, in the end, can I say... In the end, I don't really care where they come from, because, you know, if you reckon spending all that time getting into Parliament, your weekends at school fetes, listening to constituents complain about rubbish bins and traffic, going to local Chamber of Business dinners, eating rubber chicken and going to buying everything in the raffle, having current affair camped outside your house, and you reckon that's the best way to overthrow the government for a foreign power... Good luck. Go for it.
Are we ready for the wheel of death, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah. Well, when our lovely audience came in here, they threw these random topics onto this chocolate wheel. Today's topics are ibis, golf, celery, disruption, prawns, fa-la-la-la, cicada, pearl, corruption, poutine?
Yes.
What's that?
It's a thing.
Huh. Fake news. Turning 50, Christmas shopping, monkey, and we're back to ibis. Turning 50, that's not funny. But anyway, the rest of them are quite amusing. Which one filled you full of fear?
Turning 50.
Yeah, exactly. Of course it does. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Today's randomly selected topic for Mr. Thomas Dean is that of Christmas shopping.
Oh.
Who suggested that? Thank you very much. Very nice. Christmas shopping.
Yeah. Oh, you're on.
I love it. I love it so much. I love Christmas shopping so much that I begin on January 1st. And every single day of the year up into and including December 25th, as far as I'm concerned, is a Christmas shopping day. Because what I've learned and what capitalism has taught me in the many years that I have lived within its system is that everything is a gift. Everything. It used to be subtle and direct items that specifically corresponded to the person that you loved, something they desperately needed or wanted, or you wanted them to have. That back in the day when Christmas meant something, and you bring over, say, a chicken. Remember those days?
Bringing a chicken, I remember.
Pre-wrapped.
Yeah.
Came in its own feathers.
I don't remember.
I specifically remember my grandmother, the best that she would snap the bow off the chicken. That's its head. And then she would boil the packaging to soften it and unwrap it for everyone to see. And what a lovely chicken dinner we would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when Christmas meant something.
Wasn't so good for the chicken.
Well, that's their own fault. They have their own holidays.
Well, Christmas shopping means
but these days,
getting lost in Westfields, which I did last weekend.
It is. That's we've built the malls now. It's all about Christmas. I go to the mall once a week because I love Christmas so much.
Yeah. Mm.
But the malls themselves don't seem to understand that every day is a Christmas shopping day. They actually have like times during the year where they will sell stuff at a price that actually seems almost reasonable. I know. It's quite surprising. And then, come Christmas time, it appears that there's Christmas sales, but then suddenly you recognize that all of your friends want stuff you didn't even know existed. Did you know, for example, that you can get entire pedicure packs for your family members that may have bunions that need to be grated off? That's a gift. The gift of a less troublesome gait, I imagine. And the fun of playing let's take grandma's corns down an inch.
Yeah.
That's a gift. I saw a gift in a warehouse.
Used a cheese grater. I don't know about anybody else. You don't need anything special for
it's
me,
true,
Tommy.
It's true, and grandma's corns taste a lot like Parmesan.
Whoa.
As long as we're mixing and matching, because everything's a gift. Why wouldn't the shavings of grandma's foot be a gift to someone else?
Is there a Christmas gift that you're hoping for yourself, Tommy?
Like, not particularly, because I think it's all about giving.
That's why
I will buy this year a series of utility knives, thanks to Richard's great advice, and I will hand those out to people to assist them
so they will be able to
with unwrapping their Christmas presents. That is the gift that I will give. Sometimes I like to give out gift wrap, just to remind people that it's not about what you unwrap. It's just the unwrapping. Yeah. And there's so much wrapping on a wrapping roll. Yeah. Like if you wrap up wrapping with wrapping in a roll and then they unwrap it and then they get lost in the middle of it, the next thing they're stringing out an entire roll of Christmas paper, that is so exciting. It is. What do they get at the end? A cardboard didgeridoo. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah, exactly.
Rulers, I was another. The idea that you could just simply put a bow on anything and it makes it Christmas is what I think the season is about. That's what makes it perfect. Everything. And yet, and this is the only thing about Christmas shopping that disappoints me, in the world we have now decided that anything physical is a gift that makes sense for Christmas, we still can't quite imagine what to get our friends, so we get them a gift card. Which is the gift of non-gifting.
It is.
Because really, I don't know if you've looked at the numbers, the gift of a gift card is really money to the people you bought the gift card from that they never have to actually supply product for. The numbers
expire,
are in the millions. Millions of dollars in unclaimed gift cards. Thank you, David Jones, for being a store. I don't want any of your stuff. Have $100. Merry Christmas, David.
It's great. Yeah, sure. Check the date. That's the thing. Check the
and
date.
I love the second thing I love about Christmas shopping is, as you said, the mall. The malls are great because the malls are meant to bring communities together. And we all come together to buy stuff, anything. It doesn't matter. For all the people that we love. And what I love the most is because the parking lots are quite crowded. I love the spirit of Christmas. It's so ideal. Like the little people just are so patient. I love that.
Goodwill to all.
And we don't really, you don't have jingle bells because modern cars don't have the bells like you. But we all jingle bell with our horns. It's almost like a Christmas carol. So much singing. Everybody just beeping and all the fun we're having and waiting. And then, the jingle your keys as you walk towards your car. And then somebody pulls in and just waits for you to pull out. That's so exciting. Yeah. And then the joy on their face when you just put some packages in the boot and then turn to go back into the mall. Yeah. They are just so happy that you're getting more stuff.
Yeah.
They always, because you can tell, because they always hold up hands. You're number one. You're number one.
Yeah.
It's a magical time.
It's a magical time. Tommy Dane. Does he die? Does he die? Does he live?
He lives.
Thank God.
To be fair, Colin, what I really want is a gift card from Bunny.
Is that right? That'll do. Yeah.
You know what I like to do at Bunnings? Yeah. I go to Bunnings because I love Bunnings because it's full of so much stuff.
Yeah. Just
and stuff. Not just stuff. Like stuff I didn't even know existed. There are so many jobs to be done.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they are, but they have got stuff you need to do those jobs.
Yeah, right.
But what I like to do is just get something small, like say a $10. Recently I needed a squeezy thing, pliers. I needed pliers.
Squeezy thing? Wow. You're some tradesman there.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's the 17-year-old.
But the pliers were $8. So what I did, though, they brought the pliers. I said, and I bought a $10 gift card. And then I used it to buy the pliers.
Yeah.
It was and the girl that was running it, I think she loved it.
Yeah.
I think this is so great.
Did you ask her to throw in a kind of a steppy thing while you were there?
A hitchy thing? A diggy thing? A hammer?
I need a squeegee thing, a poundy thing, and something sharp.
Chickens, they do have an annual holiday. It's called Hennecker.
Oh, no.
Whoa. See, that pun hit on the first pass. That's a good pun right
now.
Now,
on the radio this week, an issue emerged. Is it okay for a kid to dye his hair blue when he's 11 years old? Various expert opinions were on offer. What did
Before we go further.
Yes.
Who exactly do I call if I want an expert opinion on the age of hair dye?
Yeah, you ring the drive show on ABC Radio.
Exactly. All right. Oh, that's where it is.
And then we put you to air, and you ask the question, then we get various experts from the universities. Yeah, they'll
ring up. The expert. Yeah. There's an expert. Yeah. It's a weird title to have.
Well, they're not an expert on blue hair. They're a child psychologist, usually.
Exactly.
Oh.
Or a parenting expert.
Well, never mind that.
Or maybe a hairdresser.
There is a thing called a parenting expert? I actually had no idea.
Yeah. They're usually people whose own children have gone so wild. Someone told me a story once about seeing one of the most famous, I won't name him, but one of the most famous book authors of one of those sort of series of books on how to raise your child. And they say they saw him stuck in traffic on the Sydney Harbour Bridge with his children going absolutely mental in the back. And the guy basically screaming blue murder at them. And they thought, oh, yeah, that'd be right. Now, here's my question, though. What did your youthful rebellion involve? And did your parents let you get away with it? Wendy Hummer.
Well, I have a really sad story here because my parents, my father in particular, he's a bit of a single parent there, he let me get away with everything. Now, I was allowed to do anything I wanted and so there was nothing to rebel against. And so guess what, folks? I got my first job at 16 and I got married at 19. How pathetic is that? Other kids had to come home early for parties, right? I used to envy them, Richard, because my dad, who was a bit of an amateur philosopher, I remember ringing him up from a party going, oh, Dad, what time do I have to be home? And he said, well, Wendy, how do you know when something is over? How can you tell when something is finished? And I said, oh, Dad, tell me to come home at 10:30. And he said, is free will real or is it just an illusion? And I went, all right, I'll just stay here for days then. And he said, does fate exist or If so, do we have free will? And I'm like, this used to drive me up the wall, Richard. All around me, all my girlfriends had these parents who say, you better be home by 9:30, young lady, or you're in big trouble. And I was allowed to apparently stay out, like, forever, apparently, in this existential landscape. And so I think there may be a support group for people like me somewhere who never got told to come home.
Was that the story in the Dean household, Tommy?
Oh, no. We very much had hard line. We had hard line. We were hardliners. Very, very exact. Like, it was always to the quarter hour. We never got to the top of the hour. I don't know why it was. Wow. No matter, we got older. It used to be 8:45. Then it was 9:45. It was 10:40. I don't know why the top of the hour was a trouble. My theory was because at the time, most American television started at the top of the hour, so they wanted to make sure that we were home just before the big show started. Oh, they're home. Go to bed. Show starts.
Yeah.
That was my theory.
Do you remember, well, you know, when I was a kid and I had my 21st birthday and I rang up my dad, you know, who I didn't have it with him because I was away. And I rang up my dad. I said, oh, I had a fantastic 21st birthday last night. He said, oh, really? Mine lasted for 5 days. And I'm like, oh, great, thank you. But he was just always topped me. He was always more rebellious than me. It was really cruel and unusual punishment.
So you think Tommy should be grateful for the conservative?
I think so, Tommy.
It was conservative, but we didn't. It was never harsh, though. It was just kind of expected that you would be home by the quarter of the hour. You would enjoy
it. And
the
so
show.
How far would you push that? What would happen if you weren't?
Oh, no, we didn't push it. My mom was a believer in the wooden spoon.
Hmm.
So
not for cooking.
No.
No. It's worth asking. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the greatest jokes ever in Australian comedy history. There's a beautiful he's passed recently with Dave Grant, Melbourne comedian. That was his joke. So my mom always had dozens of wooden spoons in the kitchen. Dozens of wooden spoons. And did she ever bake one cake? No. No. We were wooden spoon. We were.
Yep.
Yeah.
Colin, what about you? Did you rebel?
I think there was a contract, you know, a parent-child contract when I grew up, and it was like they said, be back at a certain time.
Yeah.
And I'd say, okay. And no mention was made of matches or of firecrackers, letterboxes being exploded, crawling up stormwater drains, finding a dead chicken and throwing it on someone's lawn. If they didn't...
What?
General trespassing, use of mower fuel for flaming bike jumps, riding unregistered motorcycles through the bush. If none of those things were mentioned, all they said was be back by 5:30 or by back by dark. And so there was a contract there.
And it was never dark because half the suburb was on fire.
That's it.
So, I mean, the question is, did they let me get away with it? No, did I get away with it? Technically, I did get away with some things, and it was only really, I think the compulsion back in those days was don't get caught.
Yeah.
And nothing I did was unlawful. It was just good old-fashioned fun.
Would you like your own children to do what you did?
Well, this is the fun. It's not
How
even
long
funny
did you
thing.
Spend in Pentridge when you were a kid anyway?
It's terrific time. I learned most of my life lessons there. No, I worry a bit because even our kids, and having had a childhood like that, they're not free to just roam the, not necessarily to cause chaos, but just free to roam.
No, they're free to roam.
From the sound of that list, good.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I would
free play and making cubbies down.
They're not coming into my place.
Starting bushfires, you know.
Throwing a dead chicken on my lawn. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Well, see, you're sounding like a parent now, Wendy.
Chickens have got a big mention this week on TJ.
But I think Colin has the point, though, is I think that because there was such a hard line on time, that was the only thing they seemed to care about.
Time,
as long as
yeah,
you were
it was
home,
yeah,
by
home.
The designated time, I don't recall ever being questioned about what I did until 9:45.
Oh, see, there you go. See, now you appreciate my situation. Time was never mentioned except in very existential terms. Eternity and, you know, and oh, my God, it was such a horrible upbringing.
But what's weird is that you haven't even actually done it yet. In my understanding of the way the circle of time works, this is now and that is to come. So... I don't want to confuse you further, but when you finally arrive at your childhood, keep this in mind.
I think that you... Are we related, actually, Tommy?
Hey, who were the winners and losers of this week? Tommy,
look, this is my last one for the year, this TGIF, due to some holiday planning that went awry. So I would like to make this my winner of the year.
Yes.
My winner of the year had one of his most terrible years. He is one of the great friends of TGIF. He is one of our favoriteest audience members. He is here today in the corner. Josh has fought off the demon of cancer twice this year.
Go, Josh. Josh with the best laugh in Sydney.
The best laugh in Sydney, the most fun, absolutely stunning young man. Always happy to have him with us and to know that he has kicked it twice and he is here with us looking forward to a much better 2018. So my winner of the year is Josh.
Good on you, Josh.
Well done, Josh.
My loser of the year, probably for the decade, possibly all of mankind's time, is men. I mean that specifically, men are losers. I just don't understand what has happened in the last month where the floodgates have opened and it turns out that everyone you thought was kind of cool is an evil, evil man. So I would just like to, on behalf of all men, quit it. Seriously, quit it. There is nothing more important now in this day and age than belts. Put a belt around your pants and never take them off. That is just the key. No, I don't even want to see budgie smugglers anymore. If you are at the beach, you should be in jeans. In fact, I think that Australia needs to take the lead on this and bring back belts and bracers at the same time. You should double secure your pants and make life a happy place.
I've got no idea why they think whacking it out's attractive.
It is not.
It can anyone
not,
tell
it never
me?
Has been.
Because it's just really—I mean, it's gone past me. Well, it probably has on a couple of occasions, but I'm just not. It's not attractive.
It's not attractive.
It's not attractive.
It is nothing that anybody needs, wants, or should have. Double them up, belts and bracers. That's your Christmas present for all men this year.
All men aside, who is your loser and who's your winner? Wendy.
Well, my loser of the week. This is the best, funniest tweet. You know, Uber Eats, you know that thing where they deliver you the... There was this fantastic tweet that they put out and say, we've now designed a near-perfect food ordering delivery system. And I just thought, I already got one of those guys. It's called a kitchen. You fools. I mean, really. I mean, who's not... what's a food ordering delivery system?
Food preparation and delivery system.
Every house got one. Winner of the week, it's Prince William and Kate who say that now that Harry's getting married, he's going to stop raiding their fridge. Isn't that adorable? Which is great because there's nothing worse than going to your fridge and going, oh, my God, who scoffed all our eaten mess and our stuffed cartridge? you know, really. I mean, honestly.
Where's the rest of the pheasant?
Yeah. Where's the rest of the pheasant?
I'm down to my fifth quail egg.
Yeah, that's right. The only thing I've got is one of Tommy Dean's chicken.
Winners and losers, and then we need some Aussie jingle bells because it's nearly Christmas.
Oh, well, all I was going to say is I don't know whether I should use this person's name, a celebrity gardener. Mm. Because I actually met this celebrity gardener in the 90s. I remember clearly at TCN9, a bit of a musty corner of TCN9. And I shared my heart with him because I had issues with our vegetable patch. And he said that vinegar would keep the pests away. We lost that year. We lost all our snow peas. And I've kept that to myself for 20 years, and I feel like finally...
Well, if you wanted to get rid of pests, should have put the vinegar on him.
But that year our begonias thrived in the
sun. Actually, that's not a bad idea when a celebrity gardener exposes himself to you. Just, like, squirt them with a bit of Roundup.
A bit of vinegar.
Whoa. Colin Buchanan many years ago wrote a classic which is now sung in schools everywhere. It's called Aussie Jingle Bells.
Dashing through the bush in a rusty Holden ute. Yeah. Kicking up the dust, Esky in the boot, Kelpie by my side, singing Christmas songs. It's summertime and I am in my singlet, shorts and thongs. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all. Christmas in Australia. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, Christmas time is beaut. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a rusty Holden ute. The whistle, remember. Come the afternoon, Grandpa has a doze. The kids and Uncle Richard are swimming in their clothes. The time comes round to go. We take a family snap and pack the car and all shoot through before the washing up.
go! Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia, Christmas in Australia, on a scorching summer's day. Hey, jingle bells.
Please thank Tommy Dean, Wendy Hummer, and Colin Buchanan. Thanks for being part of it. Next week, James O'Loughlin, Rebecca, and Tahir. Music from Santa's Got Soul. I'm Richard Glover. Until next time, thank God it's Friday!